And in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki for the KFSK News Department. This is the Borough Report, a monthly segment we have started up to focus on a particular department of the Petersburg Borough Government, talk about some operations, things that are going on, latest news in that department, and other things that Borough wants to get out there. We're welcome to call in during this time, 772-3808. We'll take your phone calls and try to answer any questions that you have. Today we're talking about the police department, and I'm joined in the studio today by Police Chief Jim Kerr and Borough Manager Steve Giesbrecht. Welcome to you both.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you for coming in. I guess the top question is probably about staffing these days with the police department and what's happening there. When last I talked to you, there was a plan to take effect for not a 24/7 coverage of officers around town. Has that been implemented? Has it already started up? And if so, how has it gone?
We actually haven't had to implement that just yet. It will happen. I'm not going to say exactly what day, but there's a few days that have already come up. For the most part, I adjusted my schedule myself and some other ones, and Officer Pop, since he's the grant-funded position, offered him some overtime because he's allowed to work that position, but it has to be on an overtime basis. So we're trying to maximize the manpower we have and spread it out where we can, but there will be some times when it's not covered, but we're implementing the call-out process for that.
Okay, so that's sometime later this fall you anticipate, or?
It's going to start, it will happen this month, and mm-hmm. it'll continue on again, off again, until probably the first part of November.
Okay. Obviously, you're not trying to telegraph the times and days when you're not going to have an officer responding directly, but it sounds like it's going to be more of a rolling thing, so it will be a little harder for the community to figure that kind of thing out, or...
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I want the criminals to stay on their toes, and so we're going to do the best we can to provide the most coverage we can with the manpower we have currently.
Okay. Steve, is this the only option available for staffing right now left with that sergeant's job not filled?
Definitely with where we sit right now. The assembly, you know, did budget to replace that position. Unfortunately, at this point, they have not authorized us to recruit and hire. And when that happens, we'll move forward if it happens.
Okay. And I guess that could come up at a later time if there's a new assembly that likes filling that job, or?
I think it's a combination of the summer season where it's hard for us to get a quorum with the current makeup of the assembly, as well as the election coming up. So, you know, based on what I know of current schedules, it's likely to be after the election. We just don't have the ability to have a quorum where everybody's going to be there. And I think the assembly really wants to vote on this when all seven of them are there.
Okay. All right. So what about the rest of the department? Are you fully staffed otherwise with officers and dispatchers?
We currently have one dispatch opening, and then we have the vacant sergeant position right now. But we're having to have... the captain is currently having to train, dispatch, and help get that going. We've lost other positions throughout the years, and through just reorganizing it in the years past. So we don't have the dispatch supervisor. We don't have the support service manager. We don't have that position anymore. So we have dispatch doing multiple duties. They're doing dispatch corrections. They're doing clerical. And so we've tried to maximize all the duties with the manpower we have.
Mm-hmm. And to be clear, when we're talking about not 24/7 coverage, that's just officers only. You would have dispatchers on that full time, right?
Yes, that's correct. We'll have dispatch. So if someone calls 911, it will be answered 24/7. That is a must.
Okay. All right. So you're advertising for that position, that dispatcher position?
Yes. Okay. We advertised for it, and as soon as we can get the okay for the police sergeant position, we'll advertise for that as well.
Still looking for applicants?
Always.
Make your pitch. What kind of job is that dispatcher job? What who are you looking for it?
Someone with really good communication skills, probably outgoing. They have to be able to think on their toes and prioritize multitask, something along that line. Really great group of people working there right now. And if they're worried about the correction side of it, the correction side is, as far as our, we had an audit from the DOC, the state DOC, and he said it was one of the safest facilities in the state.
For the jail and dispatch and all?
Yes. Okay.
All right. With that new building, that's made a big difference, I imagine.
Yes, big time.
Okay. All right. We do have a caller on line one. You have a question or comment?
Hello, this is Nicole McMurrin. How's everyone today?
Good, thanks. You're on. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hey, glad to hear that the improvements there in the facility are working well for folks and safety. Absolutely good component. Congratulations. Hey, I was wondering if you guys could maybe start off with like a little bit more of a comprehensive description of the department. So I've heard you speak of some particular positions. Maybe if you can offer like our overall staffing is this many bodies and some of the costs. Budgets, high level that you are dealing with, so that might help us understand a little bit more about some of the specifics in the staffing. So that's one question for you. And the other is, I wonder if you can talk about a little bit of some of the focus areas that the police department has seen some more community outreach, for example. I'm very curious about calls in regard to drugs and alcohol in the community. So maybe some high-level contextual things like that are of interest to me. So thank you very much, and thank you for your work.
Yep, thank you. Okay, so let's tackle the first part of that question, more specifics about staffing, officers versus dispatchers, and whoever else is in the department. Jim, you can handle that one.
Okay. We're slated for 5 dispatchers. We currently have 4 with 1 in training, and we also have the captain having to fill in so that we can keep that running 24/7. We're slated for 9 police officers. We currently have 8, but one of those is grant-funded, and we can't use him for patrol unless it's all overtime paid through the borough, so that knocks us down to 7.
And specifically, that's grant-funded for drug enforcement, right? Southeast Alaska Cities Against Drugs?
Yes.
Okay, so his role is to be working on drug enforcement in the community.
Yes, community, and also... we also receive help from other agencies, and so in return, he also goes and assists them as well.
Okay, so kind of second part of this question, she asked like a high-level overlook at the budget. So what are you dealing with when you put together a budget, looking at staffing, overtime, and all that goes into the numbers of how you run your department?
The overtime that I put out there, that it was $138,000 spent last year in overtime, that you also have to account that is only the overtime that they actually took. If you factor in all the comp time that the officers took and the dispatchers, that also adds on top of that. And I had the number. It's back at the station, but I think that would have bumped it up to just under $150,000. It was like $140,000. And that would have been if you factored in the comp time that they took the extra time off, thinking that they could take it, and basically they're not being able to take time off. And they've been really good at stepping up, not taking as much vacation. And we're required by the borough to take so much time every year. I think it's 80 hours a year you're required to take. And so we're trying to work that out with the rest of them.
Okay. So do you think you're going to be looking at similar overtime numbers this year? Because there hasn't been a real big change in staffing or anything without this position filled?
Well, we're always going to have the overtime. And if we have the manpower, it will decrease the amount of overtime we're spending. So, I mean, we're going to have overtime. We're going to try the best we can. I mean, last year we stayed about $200,000 under budget on our annual budget. And so that was good. And I mean, we did spend a bunch of overtime. And the goal is once we get this position filled, I want to save the borough money. And the best way for me to do that is to make our department stable, to maximize the manpower we have. And so every week we'll have an overtime, an overlap where we'll have double coverage during those times. And that's the time I'm going to use for the training. Instead of having to schedule training on overtime, I'm going to schedule it during straight time to help reduce the amount of overtime we're spending every year.
Okay.
And if I could jump in, Joe. I mean, one of the tough things, I mean, employees like overtime up to a point. And then they're like the rest of us, you know, in the police department. They want to spend time with their families. They want to enjoy the outdoors. They want to do things that they enjoy doing. And you reach a point when you work people as much as we've done where they burn out. And, you know, kind of Jim's talking about is building a team that's consistent, that knows the town, that's, you know, knows the people, which makes them more efficient at their job. And, you know, that helps us in the long run. If we start burning people out, they're going to look for other jobs. There's no shortage of police jobs out there. It's a highly needed position in a lot of places. And, you know, we're not paying Anchorage wages. So, you know, it is important for us, not just from a monetary standpoint, but also from a quality of life. We need to be a good employer so that these folks stay with us in long term. That saves us money and efficiency in a lot of other ways.
Sure. Makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. One of the things, like, a little bit more on what Steve was talking about is, I mean, we have a great group of people. We have a dedicated group of people down there. And so they are working themselves more. They're working the extra overtime. And everyone down there has families. They want to spend time with them. And so the extra money is nice, but the time off is a lot better for them. So, I mean, you also have to figure, every time we lose someone, especially a police officer, originally I thought it was in the high 20s to low 30s for $30,000 to train the person. Based on the numbers I'm seeing from the academy right now, it's going to be upwards of $30,000 to train a new police officer. And so if we're losing that person and by turnover, we're just, the borough's just paying out money that we don't need to in the long run.
Plus any recruitment process and getting a person to town?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. Second part of Nicole's question had to do with focus areas for your department. You've been chief for, a year or two now here? And what areas have you made an effort to kind of say these are our priorities and what I want to do, new initiatives and that kind of thing?
Right now we're trying to get the department stable, trying to get the manpower. I've been trying for the staffing levels ever since I took over last year. And so we're trying to get those numbers up, and we're trying more community outreach. We want to be involved with the community, but we also have to have the ability to do it. And so you'll see once we get more people, cut back on the overtime, you'll see more community involvement. I try and encourage the officers to come up to the school. I try and encourage them to do whatever they can to interact with the community, because that's where we get the best information from. I might think I know what's going on in someone's neighborhood, but they live there, and if they don't have those barriers between law enforcement and the community, they feel comfortable approaching the officers. So we're trying to break down those barriers where they feel 100% comfortable coming to us with something so we can help them out in their neighborhoods.
Talk about an example of that, which you started up last year, was the Halloween haunted house, which you'll have another edition of that coming up soon in October.
I would like to say yes.
Okay.
I know Guylin Etcher, she's the one that actually put it on. She had a group of volunteers. I spoke with her the other day. She also has some family stuff that's going to be coming up during that time, so she was going to see what she could work out. But if the community wants it, she would definitely need volunteers for it. And the other part of that, I just spoke with Petersburg Wrangell Insurance about some bags for Halloween. And So they were going to hand out, they were going to give us some bags this year so we can hand out for kids for trick-or-treating. And I also just ordered the 500 glow necklaces for the kids so we can continue that and hand out candy on Halloween so we have a better presence out there during that time.
Okay. So stay tuned. We'll let you know if that actually does happen Halloween time. You also mentioned training. Let's talk a little bit about that. What kinds of training your officers and dispatchers go through? What other opportunities you take advantage of with other agencies like the Coast Guard for training and that kind of thing? What training are you going through these days?
The Coast Guard's actually reached out to us here recently, and they were going to try and build off of the last active shooter, active threat that we had. And so in late September, they want to host another one. So we're going to have another training here in Petersburg, and we're going to incorporate the Coast Guard and Southeast law enforcement. So we're going to be reaching out to the local agencies because we want the officers to feel comfortable reaching out to the Coast Guard in their time of need. I mean, if we have something in the harbor, we can be like, oh, we've worked with them. We're on the same page in training. So we're kind of trying to standardize the training between the two. And since it's a FLETC course that Officer Wachter puts on here in town, that it helps train them and train us so everyone's on the same page.
And what does that – that sounds like an acronym that I don't know. FLETC, what?
Yeah, it's the Federal Law Enforcement – training
something I've, like that okay
yeah
all right but it's
what, I probably should know it but I can't uses. Recall it.
Okay all right so you said September for the next one then
yes the end of September
okay all right and I guess you could probably never do enough to train for a shooter incident but have you done what you think is enough to get ready for get the community ready or
You can never do enough. We try and train on it as much as we can. I mean, you see in Juneau, there was, last week or the week before, there was that incident at the school up there with the threat or possibility of it. And so, I mean, it can happen anywhere. And for us to think that it would never happen here is just, it's a crazy thought. And so I'd rather everyone be prepared for it. And it's good training and, so, yeah, you can never train enough for something like that.
And I think one take home from that incident was that it was reported by family, friends, other classmates even maybe at that school where it happened. So law enforcement there were encouraging that reporting.
Yes, that's definite.
Well, and it goes back to what Jim said earlier about, you know, having the, hate to use the word spare time, but flex enough time in schedules so that officers can go up to the school and talk to kids and be seen and viewed as non-threatening because that opens up those channels of communication. It's a lot harder to do if an officer is buzzing around, it, you know, from one location to another trying to keep up with schedules.
Answering calls.
Yeah, it's having that, again, that open time in a sense allows them to do more of that kind of stuff, and we're hoping that happens.
Okay, we do have another call. Caller on line one, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, this is John. I'm on the Public Safety Committee.
Mm-hmm. Hi, John.
And we've had a couple of concerns I just wanted to bring up to the chief, and, you know, I don't expect any answers now, but one of them was the parking problem in front of the totem poles as you Nordic, as you come down Hagen. And sometimes tour buses park there or big trucks, and people can't see. One of the suggestions was to maybe do away with that first parking space around the corner so there's a little more visibility and not let the tour buses park there because they you know feel there's a hazard trying to turn onto Nordic. The next thing, which is also something similar, is coming out of the South Harbor, going on to the highway, there's always a truck park there that's virtually never moved. And if you're in a lower car, you can't see cars or trucks coming into town. So taking a left into town from there is pretty hazardous. And the last thing's more of a personal thing. I walk a couple hundred miles a month because I'm too cheap to drive. And I always see people on their car phone and hand gesturing at the same time and having a little dog in their lap basically driving. And I don't know if anything can be done, but I really don't want my obituary to read taken out by a Shih Tzu with an attitude while walking.
Good one, John.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you'd
like to see some more enforcement of the driving while paying attention.
Well, yeah, because it's amazing how many people drive on their cell phone and hand gesture at the same time, which basically leaves the wheel, except for in the dog's paws, unattended.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that update from the Public Safety Board, and we'll get some comments here. Thanks, John.
Hey, you have a good day. Bye.
You too. Any thoughts on parking issues downtown South Harbor? I know parking's always tight, especially in summertime.
Something like for the parking, that's going to have to be through the Public Safety Advisory Board. They're going to have to try to get that changed. So
make a formal recommendation to the assembly or something like that? Or
yes, and we were able to lower the speed limit over there on Wrangell Avenue. So it would have to follow that same channel because they are legally parked in those areas. So it would have to be something to change.
Okay. All right. How about cell phone driving, dogs on your lap? And
you can't text while driving.
Okay.
But you can definitely talk while driving. And if the dog is creating a hazard, then there's an issue there with the law. So.
Is it pretty common to cite people? Do your officers cite that kind of thing very often or not?
I have not seen any officer cite for something like that.
Okay.
Basically, I would think it would be more of an education-based, and then if there is a continuing problem, then start looking at some sort of citations of some sort for it.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, let's cover a couple different things. We were talking about training. I also wanted to cover, Steve had mentioned the high-intensity drug trafficking area. Is this a federal designation, I think, for Alaska, is that right?
Yes, and what they do is being involved in HIDTA and the CCAD position is involved with it. It provides us a money source. It provides overtime funds. It provides a lot of funding. And during seizures, say there is a seizure, we assist in a seizure, we will actually get proceeds from that as our involvement. And since we are involved and we have a contributing officer to that, we'll see a higher return than someone that's not involved in it, that's still part of the group but doesn't contribute.
Meaning
an officer to it.
If you're seizing drugs, personal items from someone who's involved in a crime?
Well, drugs, we don't want the kickback from that. Okay, but, well, I mean, if we're seizing their money that's leaving or tied to it. If we're
civil
seizing
assets, basically?
Yes, cars, boats, planes, yachts, all that stuff. When they sell it, we could receive proceeds from that.
Okay. All right. And so Alaska has gotten that designation, or Southeast Alaska, or is it a regional? How does it work?
All of Alaska has, and so we're tied in with that through CCAD.
Okay. One of your officers also going to FBI school, Randy Holmgren?
Yes, it's the FBI National Academy.
Okay.
So he'll be leaving for that in October, and that's going to be, it's one of those courses that in the administrative side, you really want to be involved in. It provides a lot of networking. You can have undergraduate and graduate courses, so you'll get college credits for it as well. But they have like forensic investigation courses. They have behavioral courses, and so the stuff he's going to learn there, it will assist the police department. And then the networking with the other officers and the other command staff that he'll be involved with. They also have people from other countries that attend it. So he'll have that network. And so say we're faced with a certain problem, he can reach out to these other bigger cities or bigger agencies and have that resource of information on how to help us proceed through it or deal with a certain incident.
Okay. All right. And it's not going to mean he's off to the FBI after finishing that, right?
No. Everything he does, he'll be bringing back here.
Okay. All right. We mentioned we had a long talk on staffing. I also wanted to ask about just the overall Mitkoff Island picture. Steve, are you looking yet about response for the police department outside Service Area 1? Do you currently respond to calls outside the old city limits, and is that going to continue or not? Or?
I can speak to that, and Jim, jump in if I say any of this wrong. We do respond in emergency situations as backup and or an active situation that is critical that we get somebody there. So
back up to wildlife trooper and right. The Forest Service. Correct. Law enforcement.
So, you know, in the event of a active emergency, Jim's group helps. We're not going to leave somebody stranded and without backup. The actual ongoing, you know, sending somebody out there, though, is subject to our charter. And police services is one of those things that we're not supposed to provide that service outside of Service Area 1 unless a service area is formed, and that's listed as one of the duties. So we're not going to do regular patrols unless it's part of a, you know, something else that's going on. We're not going to, you know, respond to, for example, a burglary, you know, that's after the fact. You know, that'll get referred to the trooper, and, you know, they'll take care of that. So it's there is lines in the sand on what we're supposed to do and what we can do. In an emergency, though, we will back up the other law enforcement agencies. They're on their own as well, and we don't want that to happen if it would hurt somebody or get them in trouble. So I think I answered that.
Okay, and that's how it's been since the formation of the borough in 2013. So.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Jim, did I get it right?
Yeah, I just want the people knowing that, or the people know that are living outside Service Area 1, that if something's in progress and happening there, yeah, we will be there. I mean, there's been times where our dispatch gets a call, and then we actually refer it to the troopers, and our officers are calling as they're driving out there because we know we're going anyways, and time is of the essence, so we want to be there in a hurry. So we will respond to in-progress emergency-type stuff.
Okay. All right. How about reality TV show? Is there any update on what's going on with that? Are we going to see that on the TV anytime soon?
The last I heard, it was going to be sometime this winter, okay, first part of this next year. They were just in town over the weekend. They did some kind of, they had to do a couple interviews with the officers, and then they asked if they could, film some of the officers. Like they had, one of the officers, they needed them to drive to a certain location. Just, I got something that was part of it, but I wanted, before we did all this stuff, I told them nothing's going to be fake, nothing's going to be reenacted or anything like that. We don't do that. Either if they're here, they get it. If not, then they don't.
Were they a good company to work with in your experience? Or?
Yes, they were very good. They listened to our concerns and to the public. They actually enjoyed Petersburg community a lot. And so we'll see if they are going to try and come back for a season two.
Okay. All right. But maybe this winter sometime to see Petersburg police officers on the show. And yes. Is it, do we know the name yet even? Is it Alaska Law or something like that?
We know the name, but it's not something we're going
to
say.
Oh, and not allowed to release yet. Okay.
Yep. Not yet.
Okay. All right. We'll stay tuned for that. Anything else important to highlight from the police department standpoint, with this opportunity?
Just that we really need the manpower. We need to fill this other position. And I've heard people say, just fill it with an officer. And in reality, we could, but it's going to cost us more money. You figure just the money difference, it's roughly $5,000 more a year. And so the difference between an officer and a sergeant, I mean, we'll gain more knowledge. We gain more depth within our department if we have someone with that knowledge in that position instead of just hiring another officer and having to pay out the money for the academy. It'll take roughly 6 years to make up that difference by hiring a sergeant. And you figure if we hire a sergeant and he stays here 6 years, that was a good investment instead of hiring someone new that stays here for a year or two and then pulls the plug because they don't like Alaska or something.
Okay. All right. Steve, anything else from your standpoint?
No, just, you know, it's a, I guess, a shout out to the community. We do appreciate the support for the police department, all of our emergency services, police and fire both. And, you know, they do a really tough job, and we can always talk about small towns and not much goes on until it does. And, you know, when we talk about training, there's a reason we do that. It's not because we're having a SWAT activity every week. It's because when we do have one, we want our officers really well trained for that. And the time, hopefully we never have that happen. But, you know, we do it for a reason. It's not just to, you know, play war games. It's a big deal. And we do really thank the community for their support of, again, police as well as the fire EMS group. So.
Yeah. All right. Thank you both for coming in today. And you will hear the next borough report about a month from now. And yes, I think the next one may be Parks and Recreation.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks very much.